I gotta skip. Thank you.
All right, good afternoon. The Commission on Equitable Housing and Development meeting has now commenced. It's February 2nd at 4:02 p.m. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and to protect the public health. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial star six on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so we can track quorum. Also, to comply with the state open meeting laws, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using the audio, not by using the chat function. So with that, I'm going to do roll call. Michael Edmonds.
I am present.
Sharia Jimenez. Shay's not here yet. Jim Topol, I am here. Jay Young.
Here.
Mindy Bernstein.
Here.
Lori Meserbo.
Here.
Joanna Carr is not here. I just got off another call with her. Ken Brianna Washington.
Here.
Aggie Amato Tejas.
Here.
Wendy Asher.
Here.
Marianne Beerling's not going to make it. Mark Clark. Vicky Casino.
Here.
Olga Flores. Okay, there's a few people. Okay, our ex officio members, Marcos Ismail.
Here.
Betty Villegas. Corin Manning. Corin's not here yet either.
Corinne is here. She's coming in.
She's okay.
Yeah.
See her. She's in the attendee space. And Liz Morales. Is Liz joining us today?
She is. She's going to be a little bit late.
Okay, so first item on the agenda is the review of the October and December meeting minutes. Those minutes have been posted on our website. Are there any changes to those minutes that anybody saw?
This is Lori. I was marked absent, but I'm almost positive I was there because I haven't missed a meeting.
Might have been late. That's usually what happens. Yeah, I agree with you. Any other changes?
So, before my mother.
Is somebody speaking? No, okay. Okay, without objection, then the minutes are approved. So, third agenda item is the call to audience. This is a time when any member of the public may address the Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. Due to open meeting laws, commission members cannot discuss topics that are not on the agenda. Items brought up by the public may be considered as an agenda item for future meetings. So, is there anybody who'd like to speak today? Ernesto, are you seeing any chats or anything?
No. And in the attendees, any hands up?
All right, then let's move on to agenda item number 4. Discussion of proposed affirmatively further fair housing HUD rule. So Jamie, I turn it over to you.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, so I wanted to share this with everybody because I think it is obviously very related to the work that we're doing. Just in the past couple of weeks, the Department of Housing and Urban Development has put out a proposed rule about affirmatively furthering fair housing. And just to give a little background about affirmatively furthering fair housing, really the way that I see the Fair Housing Act is that there are two pieces. One is that if you experience housing discrimination today, you can file a complaint and address that particular discrimination that has happened to you. The other part that I think is really the unfulfilled mandate of the Fair Housing Act is this idea that communities are supposed to affirmatively further fair housing, which essentially means undo housing segregation that was essentially created in the 20th century and remains today, as we have talked quite a bit about. The problem is that HUD has very rarely enforced this provision of the Fair Housing Act. In 2015, a rule was passed, affirmatively furthering fair housing rule that did a much better job of providing guidance to cities about how exactly they're supposed to affirmatively further fair housing. That rule was suspended by the previous presidential administration, and it is coming back under the current administration. So that's a real short story of kind of what affirmatively furthering fair housing is and kind of where we are today. So what this new rule is proposing is that communities put together an equity plan, which is something that we've talked quite a bit about with public participation and really looking at housing segregation, access to opportunity, equity, again, all of the things that we're talking about. And we have discussed several times in this commission the assessments of fair housing that other communities did under the previous rule in 2015 that I mentioned. So I wanted to bring this to everybody's attention because it is currently in the rulemaking process, and very soon HUD will be taking comments about this rule. And what I understand is people that are estimating that once the public comment is closed and HUD reviews that and the rule actually goes into place, we're looking at probably 6 to 8 months before the rule is in place. So it's going to have a big impact on any jurisdiction that receives HUD funding, of which Tucson is obviously one. So I think where this really kind of fits with what we're doing is, you know, we had the students at ASU kind of give us a preliminary equity study to move forward from. Obviously, this is coming down the pike as well. So I think those two things mesh really well together. I sent around a couple of fact sheets from HUD that hopefully you had a chance to read, and if not, can read soon. It really kind of gives a little bit more detail about what I was just talking about. So I guess what I would suggest is maybe if we have a discussion today, if people have any thoughts, maybe at the next meeting, we can talk about submitting a comment in favor of this rule. I think it would will give a lot of direction both to the commission and to the city of Tucson about some good ways to address, measure, you know, all the things related to housing equity that we've talked about. So with that, I will be quiet and see if there are any thoughts or comments, and come pass it back over to you, Jim.
Any questions for Jay or comments? So Jay, I guess I have one question. So if we're going to be making a recommendation to Mayor Council, is that something that that you guys want to have come out of the subcommittee, or is that something you want to do at the commission level?
Actually, to clarify, Jim, what I was proposing is that we as the commission submit a comment to HUD in favor of the proposed rule, not necessarily, well, not to mayor and council. That's not what I was suggesting, but that maybe that's a possibility as well. But just we as a commission send a letter to HUD in support of this proposed rule.
Is there things that you think that the city needs to be doing differently as a result of this?
You know, I think once the rule is finalized and HUD kind of, you know, gets its act together and starts providing information and technical assistance to cities, it'll be a lot more clear what the requirement will be. You know, the main requirement, I think, is that the city of Tucson is going to need to produce, well, it'll be Tucson and Pima County since they're a consortium, but we'll need to produce this, you know, equity plan the new rule proposes. So, again, that would be, you know, a few years down the road, but certainly related to the work we're doing. So I don't really think that there's necessarily anything that, you know, we as the commission need to propose that the city of Tucson do differently at this point. But that's just kind of my initial thought.
Mindy?
Thank you. I apologize, Jay. I did not read the documents.
I'm just kidding.
Pardon?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. And I will for our next meeting. Trust that you are well versed in what you are proposing, and I trust you and what your opinions are about. I would think that it, I agree that it needs to come from the whole council and a copy sent to mayor and council so they know what we're doing. That's it. And I'll be all read up on it next month.
Thank you, Mindy. Any other comments? All right. Well, moving right along. Our fifth agenda item is discussion of mayor and council talking points. I don't remember. Did Ernesto, did the talking points I send you, did those get sent out to everybody?
To the commission? I don't remember right now. I'll look while we're talking.
Did you guys get the talking points for the mayor and council meetings?
I don't believe we did, Jim.
Okay. I'm going to pull it up on my computer. Give me 1 second. So this is something that we've talked about the last couple of months. I've had a couple of offline discussions. Okay, can you guys see this?
Now we can, yeah.
Okay. So I kind of feel like we've made several recommendations to mayor and council over the last few months, and it feels a little bit like those go into a black hole. I mean, it's not a two-way communication that's occurring right now. And so last month, our last meeting, what I suggested was we divide and conquer, where we assign a city council member to every, you know, a couple of members to talk through these things. And just in kind of thinking this thing through a little bit more, I think what we should maybe do is get a core group of 2 to 3 people who attend each of the meetings over the next month with mayor and council members. And then we can fill in the gaps. So with each of the other commission members as desired. So I don't want to say any of you have to attend, but if you have a relationship with one of the council members and would like to attend, I want to make sure that that you can. So,
Jim, I'm sorry. Can you enlarge your screen if possible?
Maybe.
Also, Jim, I just wanted to say that yes, we all did get this document. It's just under a different name, but I've had it on my screen. I didn't realize it.
Okay. Can you say what it's named then so we can easily find it? Because it's difficult to read on the screen.
Is this easier? Is that better or worse?
Who would have sent it out? Would it have been Ernesto? Or
yes, I would have sent it out.
Okay.
Is that better?
It's okay for me.
No, it is not. Again, I would like to know the name of the document so I know what I'm looking for, or if somebody can put it in the chat or email it now, that would be really helpful.
Vicky, I just emailed you a copy.
It's MC Talking Points.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically it's a pretty simple one-page document, and we talk about the things that Mayor and Council have already done in the last year and a half that will help with affordable housing. The commission has supplied 5 recommendations to Mayor and Council. And just to recap what those are, the first was to reinstate the Housing Trust Fund. The second was to direct Development Services to review changing the zoning regulations in order to encourage more affordable housing. The third was to direct staff to evaluate the potential of adding an affordable housing bond to the ballot. The fourth was to enact a fast-tracked approval process for affordable housing projects through Development Services. And the fifth was a recommendation that we made last meeting to allow for reimbursement of the additional costs to meet the EV ordinance, which was recently passed. So those are the 5 recommendations. And I think those are the 5 key talking points, but it would be a two-way communication to say this is what we recommend, and then listen to them if they have other thoughts or comments, or if they have questions on what these mean. So Jay has volunteered to be part of that core committee. If there's one other member who would like to be a part of that core committee, I guess I'm going to just put it out there and ask for a volunteer. Is there anybody else who would like to join us? And it's basically going to be 7 meetings that we're going to have to get set up with each council member.
I'm willing to attempt to assist, and I'd like to ask for other commission members to also join in if you can.
Okay. Yeah, Mindy?
Yeah, I'm volunteering. But
do you want to attend all of them or just a particular one or two?
Well, just there's a couple of council members that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less fluent on the topics that we would be presenting that could go as a known person.
Yep. So who would you like to participate with?
Steve Kasachek, Councilperson Kasachek, Karen Olick.
Karen's no longer a council member.
She's gone? Ugh.
Yeah. It's Kevin Dahl now for Ward 3. Okay. Michael, is there all of them or a few?
I'm going to try to help you out with all, Jim.
All right. Okay. That's great. One thing I forgot to mention is we have 2 openings. So Liz Wilson, as you guys remember, moved in December, and so she had to step down from the council. This last month, Joanna Carr has also moved up to Flagstaff. I actually saw her last Friday and told her that she needs to come back to Tucson, which at some point. But she, for those of you who haven't heard, she was going to try to make this call, and she might be on in a little bit, but she is now the interim executive director for the Arizona Housing Coalition. Jones Services was given the director of ADOH, which is a huge deal for her. She was previously the executive director over at the Housing Coalition. So Joanna is the interim director. It's not clear if she's going to be there, you know, I guess, what duration. But we're going to have to need to fill her spot. So the last point is we want to make sure we keep the commission full. And at some point, I'd like to have a discussion on potential future commission members. Jay?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. One of the things that I think, I don't know if it's missing from this list of five things, but one of the things that I think is critically important that we've talked about is that needs to go on here is the support for a housing bond.
That's number three.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, sorry, I missed that. Great, thank you. I thought it was on. I was like, that's strange that it's not on there. So.
Jim, this is Liz. Can I jump in?
Sure.
Hi there. I don't know if this came up yet from Ernesto or Ann about the presentation to Mayor and Council on the 22nd. So just so you know, it's been put on the agenda for Mayor and Council to hear the Commission's recommendations. I don't know if we're going to have you want to have you do a presentation for that, but I wanted it was placed on the agenda.
Okay. So are you saying it'd be good for us to meet with each of the members before that?
You know, I do think it's still good to meet with them and kind of prep them for what the recommendations are and then do a more formal recommendation in a study session.
Okay. Okay. That's good feedback. Thank you. What I'd like to do is just go down the list and just, I'm just going to ask each of you, and again, there's no pressure. If you're not comfortable or don't have time to do these meetings, that's okay. But I want to make sure nobody's excluded. So Michael, you said you'd like to attend. Shay is with us now. Shay, do you have a desire to meet with any of the council members? Did we lose her? Oh, Shay?
I'm sorry, that I didn't. Sorry,
is there a team? I said I'm happy to meet with Lane. Is there a team that's already assigned?
Who?
Lane.
Lane, okay.
I mean, I'd be comfortable with either Ward 1 or Ward 3. I've been in both offices, but yeah, I'm not sure who's already been assigned.
We're just getting started. So, Lori?
I'm not sure that I can make a commitment. I'd have to know when the meetings are. With my new job, it's more difficult to do those kinds of things.
No problem.
Hey, Jim, I'm sorry to jump in here. I was just wondering if maybe it would be better for us to go ahead and set up the meetings and then see who's available. We could send out a list of, like, because, you know, it's going to depend on, I think, people's schedules, right? More than desire.
Yeah. Let me see who wants to participate with the different members, and I think maybe we can coordinate off those offline.
Okay.
Yeah, Mindy? You're okay. Okay. Ken, Brianna?
I probably wouldn't be the best representative in that. I don't know. I don't understand much yet, so no for right now.
Okay, no problem. Maggie?
I can help with whatever if you're missing, but Ward 1 and Finbris is 5, right? And Kasachik, I feel comfortable with 2, but anywhere you may need fillers.
Okay, thank you. So Wendy? Oh, wait. Yeah, was that Wendy that just spoke? That was Maggie. Wendy, do you have any preferences, or do you?
It would probably be a little tricky. But if we send something out with the dates and times, I can look at that and see if there's anything I can do.
All right. I can do that. Mark?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with all of them, but I have the similar schedule issues. So let me know.
Vicky?
It depends on when the meetings are. So I liked Jay's suggestion.
Okay. My experience trying to get on a calendar for members of council is it's fairly limited. They might give us two or three options. So, you know, I'm happy to ask each of them and figure out what's available and float that out to the group. Is there one or two you prefer or not really?
No, it doesn't matter. I just think it's easier if you can get the meetings, get them scheduled, and then see who's available to join those meetings.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. I'll send that out via email. Okay. Any other thoughts or comments on communications with Mayor and Council?
Me?
Yes. Oh, hey, Mindy. Sorry.
I just wanted to clarify for myself that Jay and Michael and you are comfortable going to all the meetings?
Correct.
Great. Thank you for going, the three of you.
Yes. Great. Yeah. So there'll be four to five of us, which is plenty. I mean, I don't want to have too many, I don't think, but I think four or five is great. Okay. Item number six, discussion on the and voted on funding recommendations for the home ARPA housing redevelopment RFP. So this is, I think, the RFP that HCD has spent the last month putting together. So Jason, are you guys gonna show us what you did?
Yes, sir. Give me just one moment to turn video back on. Great. Thanks for giving us some time on your agenda today to present. I'm going to go ahead and share a slide presentation real quick. All right. So the conversation today, we have run the request for proposals for affordable rental housing development and rehabilitation. So this is our annual funding competition for primarily gap financing for development projects, affordable housing development. This year, we also added rehabilitation projects to the to that request for proposals. In our process, we have a multi-stage approval process. So the applications all went through a threshold review that was conducted by our home team. So Ben Carpenter and Ray Kiwis, who are both here. Then it went through a competitive review with City of Tucson and Pima County staff for scoring of all the applications. We're then bringing forward funding recommendations to the commission for approval. Pending your approval, Liz would then give a final approval before we send those to Mayor and Council for a final vote on February 22nd. So I'm going to go through and briefly give you an overview of the process as well as each of the projects that we have that we're recommending for funding. I would ask that that if folks could please hold any comments and questions until the end when we call for comments. The reason for that, because the commission will be making a recommendation regarding funding, you are part of the HUD procurement process for these funds. And as such, anyone who may have a conflict of interest with any of the projects can't participate in discussion or vote. So we want to make sure we get through the projects, folks, and then we'll have an opportunity for you to identify if you have a conflict of interest before we proceed with discussion and voting. So for some background, we released this year's request for proposals on November 21st, 2022. applications were due by January 10th, 2023. We received a total of 5 project applications. Those included 4 applications within the city limits, as well as 1 application in the Pima County area. As I mentioned, those applications were competitively scored by city and county staff. We're bringing these recommendations to you today, again, for a final approval by Liz and then vote by Mayor and Council on February 22nd. We were really fortunate this year that we actually received funding. Our funding requests did not exceed our available funds. And so as a result, we are recommending contingent funding officers for our offers for each of the 4 applications that we received within the city geography. Funds will be awarded using either American Rescue Plan, state and local fiscal recovery funds, and or Home Investment Partnership Program funds. So we have funding from both of those sources available. As I mentioned, there was 1 project which was applied for in the county area. So I've shared I've included information about that project in this presentation just so that you're aware. But that project will be funded by Pima County. And so Marcos is here and has let us know that they are planning to issue a contingent funding offer for that project. So first, that project, again, this is just for information purposes. The commission won't be asked to vote on this, as these are not city funds, is 3200 West Valencia. And so that's by Impact Residential Partners as the development team. Last year, the city and county jointly contributed $500,000 in Home ARP, our Home American Rescue Plan funds, to this project. It's 261 affordable units. It's a new construction project located in County District 5. And based on our application scoring, the application scored 91.84%. Each of the applications this year actually scored really well in scoring, which is part of the reason that we are recommending contingent offers for all. So then the city projects, there are 4 of these. So the first is La Frontera Partners has put forward West Point Apartments 2. This project is located in Ward 6 and is new construction with 85 affordable units. We're recommending $500,000 in gap financing. This is a low-income housing tax credit, 9% project. So the funding would be contingent on their successful receipt of 9% funding or obtaining alternative financing by September 30. And their application scores is highest scoring application with 94.88% score out of 100%, of course. Then the next project is Newport Southwest, Belvedere Terrace. This project is located in Ward 6 as well. This is new construction with 72 affordable units, had an application score of 92.13%. The project, we're recommending $1 million in funding. The reason for that, they applied for $500,000 this year. We also committed $500,000 in funding last year. That funding commitment has since expired, but the project was at the time needed to be delayed because of some items going on with the development. And so the recommendation of $1 million in funding acknowledges the $500,000 commitment last year, as well as the new recommended $500,000 commitment from this year's funding competition. Then our third.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just have a quick question.
And Jim, if I can just hold you till the very end so we can do conflict of interest. I apologize. We just have to follow in the procurement rules.
But can I just ask, did we receive this? Because you talk really fast, Jason. Did we receive this presentation?
You did not receive this by email. I am happy to go back and slow down.
Yeah, and an accessibility issue. We should receive these materials in advance.
Thanks for that, Vicki. So to step back, so we'll go back to the beginning of the city project. So there's La Frontera Partners Project West Point Apartments 2. We're recommending $500,000 in funding for this project. It's located in Ward 6. And is new construction with 85 affordable units. Then the second project, Belvedere Terrace, this is a project by Newport Southwest LLC. That project is also located in Ward 6. It's new construction with 72 affordable units. And the recommended funding here is $1 million. And that $1 million includes $500,000 that was applied for this year, as well as the renewal of a $500,000 commitment from last year, which has expired because of delays in that project. So then the third project is Chicanos por la Causa's Casa del Pueblo. This project is located in Ward 5. It is 96 affordable units, and it's a rehabilitation project. So this is not new construction. This is a project that is nearing the end of its affordability period, has rehabilitation needs. And so we're recommending $500,000 in rehabilitation funding that would ensure that those units remain livable and quality for the older adults who live there. And also will extend the affordability period to ensure that we keep that affordable housing inventory affordable. That project scored 90.79%. And then the fourth project is WPH Holdings Incorporated, Desert Dove. This is also a new construction project with 63 affordable units located in Ward 1. This project, we're recommending $500,000 in contingent funding. And the total application score was 90%. So those are, there's the project at the county that, again, the commission is not being asked to vote on, as well as the four projects that are being brought forward as city projects that we are seeking a vote to for funding recommendation. Again, these funding recommendations will be contingent on each project completing full underwriting, as well as securing their full financing. So our home and American Rescue Plan dollars are always the last dollars into a deal. So the project has to have full financing in place. And so we offer until September 30 for projects to secure that financing. Most of these projects are applying for 9% low-income housing tax credit awards. And so these investments will allow them to better compete for that funding. The current QAP requirement with the Arizona Department of Housing requires that at least $500,000 of local investment be included in any application for 9% funding. So that's a significant scoring measure. So I'm happy to move to discussion and any questions folks may have. Before we do that though, we do have to check with all voting and ex officio members to determine if there is anyone in the room who you yourself, your partner, your spouse, a member or a member of your immediate family is either has any financial interest in any one of these projects. So any one of the developments, the development companies or the project themselves. And that includes, that includes, again, yourself, partner, spouse, immediate family. So if we can ask if there are any conflicts of interest, if you could identify those now, then we can proceed to conversation.
I probably have a conflict of interest, so I'm going to have to recuse myself. But I don't understand here what the ask is, Jason. Does the city have a certain amount of funding here that needs to get allocated and you're asking for the group's recommendation on which project should be awarded, or is it that all of them, or what is the ask?
Yeah, so it is all of them. We actually have more funding available than what was requested. And so we, based on competitive scoring, support providing contingent funding to each of these projects. So we're asking, what we're presenting to you are our recommendations, and we're asking the commission to consider and hopefully for a vote in favor of those recommendations so that we can put this funding recommendation forward to mayor and council for each of the projects that I just described.
Okay. So is there any reason why we wouldn't vote yes, I guess?
I guess that is to the group's discretion. If there were known issues and we're, happy to answer any questions there are about the project specifically, Ben is the most knowledgeable and can answer any of these questions, details about the project. If there were concerns about a project having a positive impact in the community, that could be a hypothetical reason that the commission may vote against something. It, of course, as staff, we reviewed looking for those types of concerns, and these projects all scored very well. So we are hopeful, certainly, that the commission supports the recommendation.
Okay. But one last question is the scoring itself. Where did projects lose points? Is that And maybe, I don't know if I need to recuse myself. I don't have a direct interest in any of those, but I do know most of the owners. And, you know, we've helped with cost estimates and things like that. But there's no formal agreement. There's handshake agreements, I guess you could say, that we'll be helping with them if they get awarded. But I guess in terms of the scoring, how did projects lose points? What were the criteria?
Sure. And so happy to answer some of those questions, Jim. I would ask that we do the call for conflicts of interest first, so that the conversation doesn't continue with members who are conflicted. It may then create a violation of HUD procurement standards.
Okay. Then so for a conflict, do I need to drop off of this meeting and somebody texts me? Or do I just
folks with conflicts of interest do not have to leave the meeting. They simply can't participate in the discussion or vote.
Okay, then I'll be quiet.
And I don't see where there would be a conflict for Jim. I don't think that there's a conflict of interest for you, Jim.
I don't either.
Especially because it's a maybe, you know them. It's a maybe, but you're not a family member.
No, there is a conflict. There is a conflict.
I agree. Just even for perception, I think it makes sense to have Jim not on this item.
So, Michael, I need you to take the lead for a little bit, and I'm gonna be quiet for the rest of this topic.
Okay. With that, I'm going to start with raised hands, and we'll work our way through here. And then I probably have a couple of questions for you, Jason. Let me call on Betty Villegas, please.
Yeah, I just am interested in knowing the populations that these units are going to serve. Are they disabled? Are they elderly? Are they family? And then, so I have two questions. And then you gave us the wards, but the wards are pretty big. Do you have a map of the locations, the actual locations?
Sorry, so population, Ben, are you able to speak to the populations of the four city projects?
There were seniors in, I believe, three of the projects. One was family, and I'm not sure. And the rehabilitation project is also currently senior and would stay that category as well.
So which one is the family?
I'd have to go look at the application.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Ben, I know that off the top of my head. It's the WPH. It's the one in Ward 1.
Thanks.
And where is that one located?
It's in Midvale Park.
Okay.
And one, just, I know Jason said this, but I do want to make one thing clear, and I think it's worth repeating, that I was, for better or for worse, we had more funding than we had requests. And so this recommendation is based on funding everyone at the request that came in.
Yeah.
And so just want to make that clear.
I mean, that's good. But in the future, if you could have like a map of where they're all located, I think that would, you know, that would really at least give us an idea as to is the equity part of it, you know? And then, of course, the other part is, you know, how many are family, how many are senior disabled. So it would be good for the next time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Betty. Wendy Asher.
Thanks. So I just want to, before I get into my comments, I agree with Betty's suggestion that we maybe get a map of where these locations are in the future. If there are multiple places to be selecting between, obviously, if there's sufficient funding and all of these applications met the basic criteria and scored well enough, that's not as much of a question. But I do have a specific question about the project that includes La Frontera. And I was wondering if they were just going to administer this as a housing program, or if it was targeting individuals who were participating in any of their other programs, who are SMI, if there are any other targets.
Ben, are you able to field that?
I currently don't know that. I have to look at the application to see if they're targeting a specific population.
Okay. Wendy, any more questions, or we'll go to Jay. Jay Young?
I just one last follow-up. So just okay. In future settings, if we're given these kinds of options of approving or not approving specific programs, that would be helpful information to have.
Mm-hmm. And if I can, I will say for any project, any provider cannot just say they're going to target their own population, like SMI. That would be a violation of fair housing. So just know that you know, they might, I believe this particular project, and Ben, if you could look it up while everyone's on the call, but I do know vets was one of the preferences, but there's some other, I know their target was a little broader.
Thank you, Liz.
Okay, now Jay, I think.
I have to say, y'all, I think this is a very strange ask. I mean, we're a commission about affordable housing, so clearly we're not going to say that these shouldn't be approved or that we're not going to recommend them. But, like, really, we've gotten zero information about these projects. So, you know, to think that we would not vote in favor is weird. So I just want to say it seems like a very strange thing that we're doing here without much information. So
I'm going to jump in there, Jay. It's not strange. It's part of the process of making sure the commission has input, because there could be projects that the commission members are familiar with. For instance, let's say there's a developer that people have experience that they're not performing, or there's concerns around. So we can definitely give more information up front so people have an ability to review and understand. But it, again, it's not that you wouldn't be supportive, but you could have some, again, this one's easy because we have enough funding for all the projects. But if there was an issue of, you know, these are the recommendations and we're only recommending 3 of the 5 and these are our reasons, then you could push back or say we agree or disagree with the recommendations. It allows us to let mayor and council know that we went through the commission to get your input on these projects. So, but we definitely could provide information in advance and a little more detail.
I mean, I guess what my question would be, what are we providing input for? I mean, it's, to me, it is strange. So, you know, we will obviously approve this, but what is it that we're looking into? What is it, you know? So
it's, yeah, again, it's understanding what funding and what projects we're looking to fund, and if there was any concerns from the commission on any of the projects. So if you have no concerns with the projects and you're supportive, then great. But other than that, that's really the purpose.
Hey, thank you, Jay. And Wendell Clark. Mark, right?
Mr. Vice Chair, thank you very much. I was just going to say, I'm a little bit familiar with some of La Frontera's affordable housing projects, although not this one specifically. And I know that a number of their other older adult targeted projects are generally available to older adults and other people who meet those kind of criteria without restricting it to folks with psychiatric or substance use disorders. So.
Thank you. And Vicky Cosino.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree with Jay. I am not comfortable with this. I feel like window dressing, that we're given just a tiny bit of information and expected to say, yes, we approve. Then it can be taken to mayor and council and say, this is being endorsed, you know, by this committee. I don't have enough information to say yay or nay. I haven't read the RFP. I don't know who was on the review committee or exactly what the criteria was. I haven't heard anything about accessibility and you're expending government funds. I truly think this is bizarre, and I will not vote to approve it. I'll abstain, but I think it's, I feel uncomfortable that we're being asked to approve and say we endorse something and we have so little information and weren't given anything in writing.
So I will just reiterate, we're not asking for you to evaluate the proposals. we're submitting to you what the recommendations are. So if you would prefer to say we're not recommending these projects, but we have been advised of the projects, and if maybe that's just what we're saying, is that we shared this information with the commission, and we can revise our process next year to provide you better information if you want to be able to have a little more say on whether you support the projects or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're giving us information, but you're not giving us enough information to say whether we can support it or not. So there shouldn't be a vote, because okay. You're really just informing us of what you've already decided.
So let's do that for the record. If we'll just say we shared the information with the commission, so that they were aware of the recommendations rather than an approval.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from commission members? Okay, I think I can hand the procedures back to Jim at this point. Jim?
Mike, I just wanted to jump in. And to your question, Liz, the primary population served for the La Frontera project is primarily low income, over 55, targeted between 40 and 60% of area median income, also providing supportive services to those populations.
Thank you, Ben. I really thought there was some vet preference in there, but I may be confusing that with something else.
If I find additional veteran preference, I'll let you know.
Okay, but it's 55 and older and low income. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Jim, I think we're at a point where we really don't need to take a vote. I don't think, Jim.
Okay. Wendy?
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. So I have one other question, which is the folks giving us this information said that we had more than enough money to cover these proposals. So how much money is left over? And is there anything that we should be doing to try to solicit more proposals? I mean, there's a serious affordable housing shortage in our community. And why aren't we getting solicitations? Which is a separate issue than, you know, whether we acknowledge that we got this information or whatever, but I'm just kind of like getting at that real underlying question, which is why didn't we get more solicitations?
Yeah, I'm happy, Jason, to jump in here, and Liz, I'd say feel free any of to jump in, but I would say I was honestly disappointed that we didn't get more projects submitted, because we continue to have a lot of developers come talk to us about projects. And what I have learned over the past couple of years, and I'm sure Jim can jump in on this quite a bit too, we know that the 9% low-income housing tax credits are super competitive. So people know that they have to have a really solid project to have a chance, and it's really expensive. It's expensive to apply, expensive to put together an application. So it's not surprising to me that we only had 3% submitted for new construction for 9%. Where I think Tucson's really losing out is we had none submitted that were applying for 4% low-income housing tax credits. Those are not competitive. And I had really hoped we would have some 4% tax credits. And really, I think we're still in a position where the math isn't working for the 4% tax credits. The rents have increased in our community, but they're still not at the point where the project is penciling out. And so I think, well, we were offering up to $1 million in 4% gap financing. That's not enough to make the projects work. So I think we're still at a disadvantage compared to projects that are happening in the Phoenix area. One other thing I'll mention is right now we have a RFP open, actually it just closed, for the home ownership funding. And so we will consider what requests we get for the affordable home ownership. And if we get more requests through that RFP, we may be able to fund additional homeownership projects with that additional funding we didn't use for the rental housing development. So we're trying to look at all the all the funding we have and figure out how to support as many projects that are ready to move forward as possible.
And the one question I don't think we that was part of your answer was how much funding did we have? I don't think we have much left. Jason or Ben, how much do we have?
Approximately 1.5 million.
In addition to still issue after awarding these projects?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I would just add to what Ann said, which everything Ann said was right on, is we got more than we normally do. I mean, I think in the past we've only gotten one or two proposals. The fact that we have four, I think, is really positive. It means we likely have more projects going into the LIHTC competition, which is important. We need as many projects going in for competition for low-income housing tax credit or for 4%. So the work that we, and in responding to you, Wendy, around how do we get more developers, we're constantly talking to developers and ones that are interested, because we have lots of developers that come to Tucson looking for appropriate sites. We know as part of the recommendations that this commission has around zoning, that sometimes that is one of the hindrances projects. So the more we can make the zoning process more appealable to affordable housing, also around incentives, the fact that we are now offering incentives for both nonprofit and for-profit, I think helps bring developers here to provide more cost savings. So I mean, there's just multiple things that we need to continue to do to help entice developers and also make the projects viable, is the point that Anne was sharing. So just wanted to add that response.
And Liz, I apologize, I misspoke. It's about $500,000, not 1.5.
Okay.
Mindy.
Thank you, Jim. Liz is a... I'm trying to understand, is it enough that we reviewed the information and received the information, or do you need a vote?
So I'm going to, I don't want to say anything incorrect, but, you know, the HUD, we included the commission in the sense of we wanted to make sure we had our community commission, our housing commission to look at this, but it's not a requirement of HUD. We did the evaluation process, but Jason, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I have open right now. I'm looking at the, I'm trying to find the exact language in our, in our published process. But I believe we should be fine, but if we give me just one moment to clarify.
Commissioner Toefel, if you want to take the next question, we can come back to that if you want.
Okay, Jay.
Yeah, this is really more of a comment. I mean, I just want to go back to kind of this process here. I mean, I think we all very much support the hard work that HCD has done, and this is all very great news. So I don't want that to color the other part, but I just want to reiterate that I think as commissioners, there's a lot to be said for context, and it feels similar to the conversation that we had about electric vehicles. It just like was all of a sudden on the agenda. There wasn't a whole lot of background. It's kind of hard to understand what specifically is being asked of us. So I don't want us to not support this. And I would like to vote on it actually and say that we support this, but I just want to throw that out there about the context. And, you know, we are, as a commission, kind of putting our reputation on the line. So, you know, as complex as the affordable housing stuff is, you know, all of the work that y'all put into it, all of the information and the proposals, all of that stuff, there's just a lot to it to think that, you know, we're being asked to approve something. So because we do support affordable housing and obviously, you know, for the most part, really trust the work that y'all are doing, I do support it. And I do think that we as a commission should support this. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well, particularly going forward when there's something that really hasn't been discussed or we don't know that we're going to need to, you know, vote to approve something. It's good to have, you know, a meeting or two to kind of get our heads around it and know like oh, we're going to need to vote on this so we can think about what information we do or don't have. So just want to clarify that, but I do support this, and I would like for the commission to, however we do it, to, you know, vote to support this recommendation or whatever the case may be.
That's super helpful, Jay. Those are great. I mean, again, that's great feedback as we work through this. And this is our first time having this process. We definitely learned from it, and we'll make sure we provide more detail, more context, and opportunity for all of you to be able to provide your input thoughtfully.
And to answer the question, so while a vote would be beneficial, it is not required.
Vicki?
Well, I have a comment. I agree with or concur with most of what Jay said. It is about the process and the context. But I disagree that there should be a vote, because what exactly are we voting on? To me, a vote, it just is more meaningful. I feel like you've informed us of a decision you've already made. So what exactly would we be voting on? That is just weird to me. And I don't support that.
And Vicki, just so you know, it's not uncommon with what we do with mayor and council. We provide information to them on the projects, and then mayor and council is the one who makes the final approval. So all we're providing to you is our recommendations. Again, if you feel our recommendations on the limited information you have today, next year you'll have more information. But if it's decided to go to a vote based on the limited information you have, if you feel that people want to support it, that's great. If you don't feel comfortable, that's okay too. I understand the context of the concerns today. So don't feel obligated to vote for something you don't feel you have all the information. So just understand that we are clear on what the issues are here today and why people aren't comfortable with it. So I think that we are definitely heard loud and clear how we can do this better.
Mindy?
great conversation. I would like to put forth a motion that we reviewed the recommendations from the City of Tucson for the proposals for housing, and the motion is that we approve their recommendations. Don't make me say it again.
If I can interpret what I think you said, Mindy, is that that CEHD has reviewed HCD's recommendations on funding the proposed affordable housing projects, and CEHD supports those recommendations.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a second?
Not to discount at all what Jay and Vicki brought up. I completely agree. In this moment, yes, Jim, I'm done talking. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that. Maggie.
Maggie Amato's seconded. So before we put to question, I want to give Wendy a chance to speak. Wendy?
So actually, I was going to suggest a different motion, which is that we vote that we acknowledge that the information has been presented to us and leave it at that, because I have the same concerns about rubber stamping it.
Jim, I'll second that one.
Well, okay, so we can't, we're not going to do a
right, second. So we have to vote on one.
If we want to do the second motion, we have to vote no on the first, then we can take the second motion. So is there any other comments before we put the first motion to a vote? Vicki?
Well, I'm just wondering if Mindy was amenable to an amendment to that first motion, then you wouldn't have to vote on both.
No, I want to keep this clean. Last time we tried doing that, it got very confusing. So let's vote for the motion as it stands. If we decide to vote it down, then we can take on a second motion and vote for that. Okay, is there any other comments or questions before we put the question?
I would call the vote.
Okay. Michael Edmonds.
I abstain.
Okay. Sharia Jimenez. Shay, she's still with us? Looks like we lost her. I am going to abstain. Jay?
No.
Okay. Mindy?
Yes.
Okay. Lori?
Yes.
And Brianna?
Yes.
Maggie?
Oh, conundrum. I seconded it, but I think I like the second option, so no. Can I do that?
You can do yes. that. Wendy?
Yeah. I vote no.
Marianne's not here. Mark?
Hi.
Vicky?
No.
Olga? Is Olga here? Okay. Well, it's a pushed vote. So I'm not exactly sure how to handle that. I think if it's a push,
what does that mean, Jim?
That means there's four in favor, four against, and two abstained.
Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Betty is on. I believe.
I believe she's ex officio.
Yeah, I'm not voting.
I apologize.
I think it doesn't pass then.
I believe that's the case as well, is that the motion did not carry. So what was the second motion that was made?
So that was me, it was Wendy. I make a motion that we as a commission vote to acknowledge that the information was presented to us.
Second.
And what?
I second.
Okay, Mark, thank you. Does that mean we support it or don't support it or neutral?
It means we acknowledge that it was presented to us. Part of the discussion was that it was a requirement that it be presented to us. There was no requirement that we approve or disapprove it, as far as I understood the previous discussions. So we just want to confirm that it was presented to us.
Okay.
Because otherwise there's no record that that's what happened.
Okay. So motion is to the CHC acknowledges that the HCD projects which were recommended for award were presented to the commission. Any comments, Jason, is it, or Liz, any comments or thoughts on that?
I think that's good. I'm fine with it. I appreciate it.
Okay. Any comments before we put the question? Okay, Michael?
Aye.
Shay's still not with us, right? Jay?
Aye.
Mindy?
Aye.
Lori?
Yes.
Ken Brianna?
Aye.
Maggie? That was an aye? Okay.
Yes, Wendy. Aye.
Wendy?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Vicky?
Aye.
Okay, and Olga is not here. Okay, the ayes have it. Any other comments or thoughts before we move on to the next topic? Am I allowed to speak now?
Thank you so much, Jim.
Okay, so I guess I would like to make one comment, and not necessarily in favor or opposed to any of those projects in particular. But I think it's great that the city is able to support all these projects. Last year, the city was only able to support one. The way that the tax credit program is set up is it's a competitive process, and there are points based on, there's different criteria, but one of the criteria is funding from other third-party sources, such as the city. And for a project to get max points, the city needs to put in at least $500,000. So what that tells me is this year, last year we had two projects that were submitted to the LIHTC program, and it looks like this year we're going to have four. So that is a victory. And the fact that the city is able to support all of those, I think, is a great thing. And, you know, ultimately, one of the things that we want to do better as a city is be able to compete against Phoenix and Maricopa County and the balance of state to get those affordable housing dollars down here. So congratulations, Liz and Jason, everybody else on making that happen. Okay. The next agenda item, number 7, is the ASU equity study. So Jay, you want to take the floor?
Sure. Thanks, Jim. I'm going to take a little bit of time today to present just briefly about the equity study that the class at ASU did for the city of Tucson and for our commission. Again, these materials were provided to everyone. They're on the CEHD website. And if you have not had a chance to review them, please do. So there are two documents that were provided or completed by the students. The first document is the context for problem report. And very briefly, it's just kind of setting the stage, providing background information, providing context about the city of Tucson, demographics, history, poverty, goes into homelessness, and housing in general. I think they do a really good job of discussing, how we have arrived at the housing situation today in Tucson and the related equity issues surrounding that. It also outlines a lot of the plans in place that the city has already done and pulls those in to, again, provide context to think about how to move forward with an equity study. And I'm not an expert on these reports. I'm just presenting them, although obviously I was involved throughout the semester with the students and providing feedback and trying to help provide some guidance to them. But are there any thoughts or questions about the first part of the study, the context for problem report? Okay. The next part of the study, this second piece, if you will, the Tucson Housing Equity Study, Local Project Tasks Report. What it does is it compares three cities to Tucson, how they think about equity, how they analyze equity, and then how we measure equity. And I'm sure this will be familiar to most of you because we've talked a lot about this, how the city is measuring equity and how, particularly as we do our work with the commission, we move forward and measure equity over time. Are things improving or are they not improving? What things along the way, what projects, what policies are improving equity or not? So the three cities are Chicago, Austin, and Seattle. I think Chicago is maybe the least advanced in terms of how they're looking at equity and particularly measuring equity, but they do define equity. They define the approaches that the various cities are taking. And I think what really jumps out to me in particular is how Austin and Seattle are really tracking progress. And I think this is something we've talked a lot about again, how are we tracking progress on equity And then the report concludes with a menu of options for Tucson. So I think the students actually did quite a good job of providing the context in the first report and then, you know, showing how other cities are measuring equity and looking at equity, particularly related to housing. And I think it shows some ways in which Tucson could, you know, add some things and further develop how it's looking at and measuring equity. So again, that's obviously a very brief overview. There's a lot more information in the report in both sections. So that is what we have. So I don't know, again, if there are any questions, any thoughts, but I do think that this is a positive step and a good piece of the foundation for, you know, moving forward and measuring equity and housing equity over time.
So, Jake, question for you. What are next steps? Where does it go from here, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that's the discussion. You know, I think obviously in the Housing Segregation Subcommittee and also as a commission at large, we have had a lot of talk about, you know, where are we regarding equity in Tucson and how are we measuring changes over time? And I think that this study provides some clues about, you know, particularly other places that are doing this, I think, in a pretty good way. So, you know, is this something that, you know, we as a commission maybe want to recommend that the city look at undertaking? Is there, you know, maybe comparing this with, and I think they do this in the study to a certain extent, you know, some of the things that other communities are doing, you know, what is Tucson doing and what is Tucson not doing? So I don't know, maybe it's also a question for HCD staff, particularly with the idea that, you know, there may be this equity plan on the horizon that HUD is requiring as well. So that's a long-winded answer, Jim, of saying I'm not totally sure.
Is HCD doing anything at this point on equity specifically?
So we probably could give you a better answer if we can compile. We're doing a lot of different things around equity, but I don't know that any one of us could cite all those things right now. Anne or anyone else want to chime in?
Well, it would. I mean, you don't have to do it now, but it would be good for the next meeting if you could give us a report on what you are doing, so that we can, you know, we can say, okay, we can check the box, if you will.
Yeah, I do think there's we're approaching it in some different ways, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we could collect how we're doing some of those pieces, but. Could we do more? Absolutely. But based on what we're learning from this group, we could probably implement additional things.
I would just add, you know, Betty, to your point, I think what one of my takeaways was from, again, particularly what the students uncovered about Austin and Seattle is that both of those cities are tying the strings together about what the cities are doing. So again, this is just my impression, but, you know, I think that the city and HCD, I think that they are really focused on equity. And I think a lot of the things that are being done are promoting equity. I mean, you can see it in PIP, you can see it in a lot of the different things that HCD is doing. But I think what, you know, like Austin and Seattle, and I think there's some other cities are doing is that they're tying all of those strings together in a way that feels more comprehensive and makes it easier for like us as a commission, for instance, to be able to say, okay, here are the things that the city is doing regarding equity, and here's how it's having an impact. So it's kind of that next level. So, you know, I also think it goes back to, and obviously, Betty, you know this, having, you know, run departments, but, you know, what is the capacity of, you know, HCD or the city generally going forward to do more of this work. I mean, you can't just wave a magic wand and all of a sudden have, you know, people who are not doing anything all of a sudden start working on this. So, anyway.
Well, if I could just, I know that Counselor Santa Cruz, I mean, that's her main, one of her main goals or missions, you know, and so I'm sure that the city is working on equity issues. I know, I agree with you, Jay. Austin, Seattle, Portland, they're all doing some interesting different things in using their preference policy, which I've looked at, and it's something that I think is that we should look at here as well, you know, in to address displacement and to address displacement from generations past. They're using their preference policy for kind of the right to return. So if they're, and it's been vetted through HUD already. So it's something that you might look into, Liz and Anne, you know, for future projects that are, especially if they're in neighborhoods where people have been displaced already.
So I will just say I was pleasantly surprised when I saw this report. It was better than I anticipated. When we went into this, part of the reason that we wanted to conduct this study was to better define what does equity mean, because it's a hard thing even to really define, you know, how do you solve an issue if you have a hard time even defining what the issue is. And so there's a lot of really, I think, good data specifically in the task report. So if you have not looked at the task report, you know, I encourage you to do that before the next meeting. And really the meat of the presentation comes down at the end where they have the menu of options for Tucson. And they talk about, you know, the different indicators for equity. So there's income, race and ethnicity, unemployment rate, median home values, percentage of post-high school graduate degrees, the poverty rate, so on and so forth. So it talks about these different indices, and it gives a description of it, and it talks about, you know, other cities that and how they've tried to focus on those indicators. So I think it's good. I still think it's a very complicated issue though, and it's hard to really get your hands around what do we need to do differently. But I think it's a good starting point, and I think we should continue to use this and as a tool to develop recommendations.
If I may, Jim, also just wanted to share with the commissioners that I've attended a couple of Plan Tucson gatherings, let's say, and I'd like to encourage every member of the commission to look on our city website. You do a search, you'll find it, but it's, you know, tucsonaz.gov/PDSD/plan-Tucson. And up there, you can, they're thick. I haven't read them all the way through myself. But there are progress reports from 2019 and 2021. And there's a 2022 update. And equity is a part of this conversation. So if you were not aware of it, please check it out. Plan Tucson.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, just to keep it simple, I think the next steps really for us is if you're on the commission and you have not reviewed this, do so, because I think it really does a good job of making equity as digestible as possible. I mean, Jim, you're right. It's hard to define and get your head around, but I think, you know, if you kind of read through the study and sit with it, it makes a lot more sense. And then I think that the other thing to do is as you're looking through the study, go and look at some of these examples, like, you know, on page, what is it, 16 of the main equity report, not the demographics and background, but, you know, they show a picture of a map that Austin uses where, you know, they're looking at using that kind of information to see where displacement is likely to happen, you know, the kind of metrics they're using. So go look at what Austin is doing. Go look at what Seattle is doing so that we as a commission can have an understanding of what, you know, looking at equity at a deeper level and then doing things to address those equity issues and measure going forward. I think that's the value here. And, you know, if we don't use this as a commission and kind of help move the city to that point, I think we're really, really missing a golden opportunity. I mean, we talk a lot about not feeling like we're having an impact as a commission. And I think, you know, really diving into this and looking at it at a deeper level and talking about it as a commission is a way that we can do that. And, you know, I would also suggest that we come back to it next meeting after everybody's maybe had a little more time to look at it so we can think about what to do. And I would also suggest, you know, if HCD, if y'all haven't had a chance to look at it, do and provide us some feedback with what y'all think would be feasible or, you know, some ways that we might have some easy wins about, you know, look at defining equity, measuring equity, and where y'all think we might be able to go, you know, based on this study and what you think y'all might be able to do.
I just want to say thanks for including us with that program and this opportunity to be part of that discussion. So we will definitely utilize that. One of the things I forgot to mention, because of Councilmember Santa Cruz, one of the things we have to do as a department is talk about how our budget, our funding touches on equity, which again, all our federal funds and our local funds and how we're meeting the needs and addressing the needs to be more equitable. So that might be a way for us to share some of that information at our next at one of our next meetings around this topic. But I definitely think there's a lot we can pull from this report and appreciate again the commission's leadership on this. It's super helpful to provide this level of collaboration and sharing of information with the school of with ASU. I think it was ASU, right? That did this. So thank you for including us.
Okay, good. Any other comments or thoughts before we move to the next agenda item? Okay, next agenda item is Mindy. Sorry.
Thank you. I concur with Jay about reviewing and reading the full report and having more discussion next month on our agenda. Austin and Seattle, in Boston are really cool cities. It'd be good to have Tucson looked at as being cool too. Thanks.
Okay. Agenda item number 8, which is CEHD commission assignments. So there's two things I wanted to touch on today. The first is we have two openings. One, as I said before, one for Joanna and one for Liz. So I'd like to put it out to the commission if any of you have thoughts or recommendations on a person to join the commission. You know, we can make those recommendations to mayor and council and try to get them pushed through. I've got two people in mind that I think would be really good additions to the commission. But I don't, you know, I'm not stuck on them. So if there's other people as well that that any of you would like to put up, I guess I'm asking for you to share that. And the second is we passed our bylaws, and one of the positions that's still open is a secretary. So I'm hoping I'm going to keep asking if there's a recommendation on someone who would like to be secretary for the commission. And I don't, this person's not going to be responsible for actually doing the meeting minutes, but I would like them to maybe help review them and just quality control check them before they're presented to the commission. Mindy?
I volunteer to take that position as long as it's not writing the minute, the meeting notes.
Awesome.
Unless anybody else wants to do it.
Are there any other volunteers?
Any other volunteers? Please,
please, please. Thank you, Mindy. Well, without objection, then I would like to make Mindy the secretary of the commission. Is there any objections?
Oh, please, please, please.
So you want somebody to object? All right. Congratulations, Mindy. I really appreciate it. Jay?
Yeah, that's great, Mindy. I was just going to go back to the looking for new members. I seem to remember like when I was applying to be on the commission, there were requirements for certain positions that we were wanting to be filled. I know like I was looking to come in as a fair housing person. And so I'm just wondering, the people that have dropped off, were they filling particular requirements that we need to fill again? You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question.
I'm happy to jump in here. So yes, Jay, that the way the ordinance was written, the idea is to have the commissioners have a variety of experience and backgrounds. For some of the spots, there were specific requirements. Those are the spots that the director appoints. The two spots that are open right now are mayor and council appointees. So there are no specific requirements for those commissioners, but the idea from mayor and council is to make sure that there's a variety of experience. And so I would say when you're thinking about recommending folks and encouraging folks, just thinking about what their background is and how it complements everyone else, but no specific requirements for these two open seats.
On top of that, I would really suggest that we have folks who are working in the grassroots. I mean, I look at our commission, I think we've got a lot of great folks, but I also see a lot of folks who are, you know, professionals like myself who, you know, I think have a different perspective oftentimes than folks who are, you know, on the ground living this day to day. So I don't have anybody off the top of my head, but I do think that, you know, having more grassroots community-based folks would be a great addition to the commission.
Does anybody have recommendations or suggestions on individuals?
Also, what would the process be, Jim? I mean, would we just tell people and they would apply and then there'd be a pot of folks that mayor and council would choose from, or what's the process?
Well, I think this is one of the talking points with mayor and council is we need to put a couple people up. And I think if we have a recommendation or two, we can make that.
And agreed, you can make recommendations to mayor and council. Just as a reminder, for mayor and council seats, an elected official, so mayor and or a council member, needs to get a second elected official to recommend together, and then it goes to mayor and council for a vote.
And for people who may be attending or listening or watching and maybe even later, are they able to state an interest to what, you or HCD or mayor and council or ward offices?
Yes, to all of the above. And if any attendees are, they can put information in the chat too.
Okay, well, if any of you have recommendations, feel free to email me or call me, and you know, I'd be happy to suggest them as well. There is one suggestion on the chat for Jim Murphy. The other person I'm just going to throw it out here that I've been talking to, I think would be a great addition to the group, is Megan Headings. Megan is the executive director of Family Housing Resources. She's been working on an affordable housing project with Gorman, and she's been working to get other projects out of the ground. So she is somebody who is I think active in the affordable housing business, and that's her nonprofit's core function. So, okay, and then Shay is back with us. Shay, you want to go ahead and...
Oh, yeah, I just, I met with Kenny Wong yesterday and on a different issue, but I think he's really great. I encouraged him to apply or to, you know, if the opportunity came up. He's heads up the Jackman Institute. He's with CAPLA, but he just has a real passion and interest in equity. So I don't know, thought he might be good.
Ernesto?
Thank you, Jim. On a related matter, with Liz Wilson from the commission, she chaired the Housing First subcommittee, and at present, you're going to need to, I suggest you're going to need to reconstitute or add a member or two and select, have a chair for that subcommittee.
I agree. Liz?
I was just going to say it'd be great if people are recommending others that you let them know that they're being recommended and make sure that they're agreeable. And second, if you can get copies of like resumes or of that sort, some mayor and council like to see those too. So just not required, but something helpful.
All right. So moving on to what Ernesto was talking about, I was going through and I realized I do not have a good list of which commission members are on which subcommittees. So I'd like to just kind of go through a roll call and confirm who's in which subcommittee. So we've got the housing segregation, Housing First, and affordable housing. Okay, so Michael, which group are you in?
Yeah, this list is something I've been trying to get hold of myself. So I am on the housing segregation, or are we desegregation yet, or are we still segregation subcommittee? And Jim, I'm the co-chair, and now chair, I suppose, of Housing First.
Okay. You're the chair for Housing First?
I suppose I am, because I was co-chair.
Okay.
And by the way, everyone, I am willing to relinquish the chair position of this subcommittee if there is any interest.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Shay is affordable housing.
I'm the chair of the affordable housing committee. But lately I've just had a heck of a time with Zoom. So my apologies. I don't know what's happening with my account, but, and on top of just having crappy internet service. So, but I do try to chair it when technology does not fail me.
Okay. And then I'm also on the affordable housing. Jay, your housing segregation.
Also, Mike, I'm so glad that you reminded me, we voted to change our name to the housing desegregation subcommittee. So. Oh. Trying not to have more segregation, so.
Okay, Mindy.
I'm on the Housing First.
Okay. Thank you. Lori?
Housing desegregation.
Okay. Kimbriana, are you on a subcommittee, Kimbriana?
No, I am not yet.
Do you have a preference?
Not right now, just because I don't know the whole.
Housing first.
Tell you what, let's. Kendra and I are going to grab lunch here this next month, I promise. And so we'll talk about that and figure that out.
Yes.
Maggie?
Affordable housing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Wendy?
I am not sure.
Do you have one that you want to participate on?
I would be happy to participate on any of them. So if in the end of this discussion, there's one that is in dire need of a spot being filled.
I think Housing First is in the most need for members.
I'm on it. Thank you.
Wendy, I appreciate that. Okay, Marianne is on affordable. Vicky?
Desegregation.
And then Olga is also affordable, correct? Yeah. She's actually a co-chair. Okay.
Jim, if I could speak for Olga right now, she has a different job now, and her hours are until 6 o'clock. So it's really hard for her to jump on these meetings at this point.
Okay.
So she's actually thinking of stepping down, but okay. Hasn't quite made the decision, but thinking that maybe it would slow down for her, but so far it hasn't worked out. So just so you know.
Okay. Is Olga, do we know if Olga is a appointed position?
Yes, she is.
She is an appointed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Much as it pains me to have to insert myself into this conversation, I should say that I had originally been a part of the Affordable Housing Committee and somehow disappeared from that roster. Unfortunately for me, I have a significant problem because I have a lot of end of the day standing meetings in my employment. And so that's really been a challenge, which is why I haven't been to any of those meetings in quite a while.
Okay.
So I would like to figure out a way to do that, but I have both Monday and Wednesday standing meetings every week.
I apologize, Marcus. Just breezed right over your name.
That's all right. Not a problem.
Okay. So, Michael, thank you very much for volunteering to chair the Housing First. Okay, so let's keep going to the subcommittee updates. Agenda number 9. So first is Jay with housing segregation.
Thanks, Jim. We had a great discussion at our last meeting. We talked quite a bit about the equity study that we reviewed a few minutes ago. And I believe we also decided to, dig deeper and come back and talk more about it at our next meeting. Also, we did change our name to the Housing Desegregation Subcommittee. For obvious reasons that weren't obvious to me until somebody said something about it. So, but that's a good change, I believe. We talked about the Norte Sur concerns and how that relates to housing, gentrification and segregation. We talked about tenant protections. We talked about community-controlled housing and the difficulties really of addressing affordable housing without more community-controlled housing, public housing, social housing, what have you. I think that's really about it. There were two other things I wanted to mention that we have talked about previously in our subcommittee, but that I think just bear repeating again. Y'all, we really have got to focus on accessibility for this commission. I mean, we still are having materials that are not accessible to folks or even being vetted for being accessible. We're a commission on equity, and it's just critically important that take priority. We've talked about it you know, for over a year. So I really hope that, you know, we can start to make some progress there. Other thing I want to mention is I hope that we can really focus in on our logistics and administration, you know, in terms of like quorum checks and making sure that things are posted on the website, materials. I know that there have been, you know, some issues with the desegregation subcommittee about, you know, getting quorum and, you know, making sure that the stuff is posted. So, you know, as we are having turnover and we're really trying to get our feet on the ground, I think the logistics and administrative parts of this are like things that we really need to tune into. So I'm not sure if we can have a conversation about, you know, those roles and responsibilities and, you know, like what's my responsibility as the subcommittee head to, you know, track quorum or get stuff to, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, as we move into 2023, I just really wanted to bring up those two points, partly because we've talked about them in our subcommittee, but also I know that we've talked about them as a full commission, and I think they're both critically important. So Lori, Vicky, Mike, did I leave anything out that I should have covered?
This is Vicky. And if I missed it, I apologize. I wasn't sure. We talked about in changing the name of the committee. I just went to check. I'm not sure if the committee names are listed in the bylaws. I thought they were, so I don't know if it requires a formal change there.
I don't believe they are. I think we left that open so that subcommittees could be added or changed as needed. Are there any objections to changing the subcommittee name to housing desegregation? If there's no objections, then it's changed. Okay. Michael, are you comfortable giving the report?
Yeah, I'll just give some headlines because we, to my recollection and my notes, so we haven't really met. But first of all, I'd like to invite anyone and everyone to the Housing First Subcommittee. Our upcoming meeting will be on February 22nd at 4, and that information should at some point be posted on the CEHD website. Let's see. Let me just scroll through the notes real quick. We are seeking to bring, at least to this committee for conversation as well. We're hoping to bring some people with lived experience to the meeting. Hi, Brandy. Brandy Champion's here from Housing First. I just thought I'd say hi. And Brandy, if you know of anyone and others, please refer them. We were going to have some discussion about coordinated entry because sometimes it doesn't seem to be, not that it isn't, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily seem to be a clear and straightforward process for some. So that's something that we're probably going to be looking at. And we've talked about in the past about trying to brainstorm a little bit about things along the lines of vacant lots and abandoned buildings and opportunity zones. And I think for the moment, Jim, I will stop there about some of the things that we've been discussing and we'll get the meetings up and running and I could use all the help we can get. Also, I think Mindy's on this subcommittee. Mindy, did I leave anything out?
I think I missed a meeting.
I think because of the change in the configuration that we may have like kind of postponed one.
I know numbers of people who have been without homes. And is that what you're talking about? People with lived experience that went through Housing First programs?
That had lived experience relating to Housing First, trying to get housing, needing to get housing for whatever reason, you know, whether they became unhoused.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know dozens.
Yeah. So we can talk about that later. And Jim, I think that's all we have.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Last is affordable housing. Shay?
Just briefly, we went over, we had a guest, Krista Schwartz was with us, talking about an affordable homeownership development model, and that was pretty interesting. Went through some of the numbers and, you know, just the general project and challenges. It was really good. And then we had, we talked a lot about, you know, kind of basically what Jim led us through at the beginning of this meeting is following up on political strategy, who we're going to meet in as far as council members and mayor and when, and kind of just checked in about all the different efforts too that are going on right now. The county just initiated also their housing commission got reinstated. So, and they have money on the table. So a lot of the people on our equitable affordable housing subcommittee are on that commission as well. So so yeah, we kind of just checked in about all those things. Corin updated us on the IID and the development codes. Oh, that was really important as well, that we want to, you know, be supportive of a lot of the proposed changes that are being updated with the PDSD or will ultimately positively impact, you know, housing development, we feel, especially with there's a few items on there like reducing some parking requirements, and there was a few really significant ones on there. Setbacks, allowing Corin, if you're on the line, if you want to update about that, you'd get easier. The setbacks one with you know, townhouse homes, making that, you know, a more feasible housing type. I think they're all really positive changes that we definitely want to be in support of. Go ahead, Corin.
Add one thing, which is that since that subcommittee meeting, I think it was actually that night, Planning Commission did hold a study session, and they set that package of code amendments for a public hearing on February 15th. So there's an opportunity to speak at that hearing or submit comments, written comments in advance to the Planning Commission. So it would be great for them to hear from folks on this commission about how you think these changes could impact housing development. So as Shreya said, some of the aspects that touch on housing are making it easier to build townhouses, which currently our code basically does not allow townhouses to be built as of right, so without some special approvals. And then another aspect is to reduce parking requirements for small multifamily, so multifamily development of 2 to 5 units, kind of infill, small scale infill, reducing the parking requirements, which often is one of the major challenges in building housing of any scale, but especially at that infill scale on smaller sites. So it would allow for more housing instead of parking on those infill sites. And I'll put a link in the
When is that meeting on the 15th? What time?
It's virtual meeting of the Planning Commission. It is February 15th at 6 p.m.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else for affordable housing?
No, I think that was it. That's all we had on our list, unless anybody else had something.
Okay. Let's see. Get the agenda back up here. Thank you for that. Next item is HCD updates. Anne and Liz.
I will take over, but Anne knows that she is to jump in if I miss anything. So good evening, everyone. Got a list of things here to share with you. One, as you know, we had opened our wait list for our housing programs, which included our public housing sites and our housing choice voucher programs for both Tucson and Pima County. In the first 3 weeks, we received over 15,000 pre-applications. that first group were placed into the lottery, and their position on the wait list is based on how they were selected on the lottery. And we will continue to keep the wait list open, and we'll do a monthly draw lottery process for any new applicants that will be added to the bottom of the wait list. Huge thanks to Jay Young, Vicky, for your help in trying to make our process as user-friendly, accessible. There's still things that we learned through the process that we will continue to work with our vendor to improve. But again, we couldn't have done it without your input and support. We also submitted the choice application, which would be used in part to renovate Tucson House. It was submitted, I think, 362 pages total grant application for a potential of receiving $50 million. We'll know probably in March or April if we're in the final list of consideration. So we will wait patiently, not so patiently, to hear on that. We also just completed the annual point in time count. Many of you in this meeting, I'm sure, were involved in one way or another, but we will share information as we get that. But TPCH, Tucson Pima Collaboration and Homelessness, is responsible for the data and the submission of this to HUD. But as we get that, we will share. Also, we received last week over 20,000 blankets from FEMA, which we are distributing to agencies, groups, anyone who can use it to help disperse and distribute to persons who are unsheltered. If you want information on how to access those blankets, Cindy McLean through TPCH, you can get on the TPCH website and email Cindy McLean and to if you feel that you can use those to help get that out to the community. Some funding announcements. Some exciting news. We did receive a notification this week. Arizona Housing Coalition had done a notice of funding opportunity to provide funding for persons who are in non-congregate shelter. And so we submitted an application which would provide some flexible funding, some additional support staff. And we're also mixing, combining it with some efforts that we just received funding from Congress around a new project. We're calling it the AMFI Housing First Resource Center. It would be creating in the AMFI neighborhood, an opportunity to provide resources and potentially non-congregate shelter at that site too. But that one is going to take us a little bit of time to really get that rolled out. But my hope is before the end of the year, we have some progress on the Housing First Resource Center. So three, and then finally TPCH, Tucson and Pima County got awarded continuum of care funding for a large over $7 million grant. It's a large collaboration and multi-agency collaboration. And so we were one of 40 cities that received this funding. So huge kudos to our continuum of care for being successful in getting those funds. On February 22nd, our Board of Commissioners, which is our mayor and council and one resident member, will be we're asking them to approve an intergovernment agency agreement, an IGA, with City of South Tucson. Betty here is instrumental in working with us to be able to share jurisdictions under the PHA with Section 8. We have to operate within our city boundaries. This IGA will allow, especially South Tucson has very limited options on housing for their voucher holders. So this IGA will allow them to find a unit outside of South Tucson, and the City of South Tucson can do inspections and execute contracts and do all that work without having to go through the, what we call the portability, which is transferring the paperwork. It's very onerous and not easy on the voucher holder. So this will streamline that and make it better for the voucher holder. So thank you, Betty, for helping. And we're going to hopefully have that ready to go on February 22nd. And finally, we did have a visit from the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness, the USICH, and our HUD partners from Arizona came to Tucson to see firsthand the work of the city on our efforts on homelessness, and also really to discuss the accomplishments. President Biden had the initiative called House America, and we had the mayor had submitted some goals, and we exceeded those goals. I want to thank Brandy Champion for all her efforts on that initiative, and she was able to share those successes. And we received great feedback from Executive Director Jeff Olivet with USICH, and he commended the work we're doing. He also gave us some great feedback about things we're could be looking at. They shared there's a new federal strategy called All In, which is a federal strategic plan around homelessness and how to address it, how to end it, how to work on it. So they're really encouraging the local communities to create their a plan that mirrors the All In strategic plan. So those are some things that we'll be working with our partners at the county and TPCH on what that might look like. So just wanted to share some of those updates. Anne, or anyone else on the team, did I miss any updates?
Just the only other thing I'd add is at the last mayor and council meeting, they did approve the nonprofit organization development arm. They approved the bylaws and the management and operating agreement. So we have a development arm.
Thank you. Any questions for us?
Sounds like you guys have been busy. Wendy?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Tucson House and this giant building, but how many units are there at Tucson House?
It's a little over 400 units. 408 units are there. 407 are public housing. And so the renovation actually would probably reduce those units a little bit, but we will have replacement units in three other sites. Am I saying that right, Anne? It's three other sites.
Yep.
So exactly. We'll have 408 additional units created as a result if we are funded with this choice program.
And with the renovations, will people be displaced during the time that the renovations are going on?
So because it's a federal program, we have to follow the uniform relocation guidelines. So what we're hoping to do, there'll be a plan of action of how we would move people. The first group, we're going to do it by floors, potentially up to three floors at a time. The first group may be relocated to offsite, but as those units are renovated, we'll move current tenants into those renovated units. And so there's a lot to be worked out with that relocation plan. It's not at all in stone, and we will work with the Tucson House residents. That's a big issue of concern, as you can imagine, on what that happens. But there won't be a massive displacement of people. It'll be done very organized and well in advance, following those federal regulations.
Thank you for that thoughtfulness. And I have one other question, which is based on how many folks have been added to the wait list for public housing and housing choice. How many people does that represent? I think you said there were 15,000 people added. I'm saying that would be households. So
households,
do you have any estimate of how many people that represents?
We don't have all the analysis on all the submissions. Right now, we were very focused on just getting the lottery done, but there is some data and analysis. I know one of the things we're trying to look at, too, is just household sizes, right? Not just number of people, but what are the household sizes, like how many bedrooms are needed on the public housing side. So there's some work we need to do to understand what's been submitted. Just so you know, the pre-application, we asked for really limited information. So because we want to keep that as simple and easy process. Once we pull them off the wait list, we get more into the details. But I do believe they do include how many family members they submitted and their total household income. So hopefully we can pull together an understanding of those, of what that looks like, aggregate numbers.
And lastly, I hope, I know that in past meetings, Liz, you've talked about ways that you're trying to increase the number of units that are available for folks who have vouchers and are looking for housing. And that's been, I know from my side, hearing our clients, that's been an ongoing issue. So adding more people into the mix, what does that look? Because it's lovely for people to have vouchers, but not if they can't use them.
Yeah. I mean, all great questions, Wendy. This last one is definitely the one that is most concerning. I will say, one, we've had such issues with having landlords work with our program. And so what we are seeing is the rents and the market is getting a little softer. So we are seeing more landlords participating. We especially had a huge increase in landlords for the 3 months we had our source of income ordinance. And I'll just go into that for a minute. That is another development that we haven't shared here. But the source of income was a local ordinance that Mayor and Council had passed at September 27th, where landlords could not just have a no Section 8 policy. So at that point, we had lots of landlords coming to our program, doing our landlord trainings. We went from an average of 14 requests for tenancy approvals to an average of 40 per week. It was an average of 14 a week, went up to 40 a week. So we know that the ordinance was very impactful to bring more landlords to our program. In December, the Attorney General at that time had issued an opinion that because there was a complaint filed by one of the legislators, who's now the Speaker of the House for the state legislature, the Attorney General had determined it was in violation of state statute. Since then, the mayor and council have submitted to the suspension of the ordinance, which the new Attorney General has determined has resolved the complaint of us being in violation. But the positive thing is the Attorney General has agreed to reconsider the opinion. And so we are on hold and waiting to see what if the new Attorney General has the same opinion or a different opinion. So we're hoping there's some positive outcomes to be able to maintain the ordinance.
There was an article in the Phoenix paper today that the city of Phoenix is now also considering an ordinance following Tucson's lead. So kudos to Tucson.
Thank you. And just, you know, my battery might just die on my laptop. So if I drop off, you'll know why.
Well, I want to congratulate HCD on getting that that RFP in. I know that you guys spent a ton of time working on that. It was a major undertaking. So we're all keeping our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you. And I just have to say, Allison Miller and Ann Chineka really put in a ton of work. We had a lot of people helping. Mark Clark, many of our partners are part of this effort. And so one of these days we'll share with you all the different partners we have on this project, hopefully when we know we're getting funded. But again, thanks to everyone who helped us in one way or another with that application.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Okay, any other questions for HCD?
Quick one, Liz. What are your thoughts about opening up the list again for applications for HCD?
It's open. It's open. Okay. It's not closed.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because I'm getting questions and I wasn't sure based on the information I could find. So
yeah, the web page still has the link for people to apply. Ernesto worked his magic and got a bunch of providers in the community to help us with our application process. And so the word is still out. And it's amazing. That's why we didn't want to close it, because I'm getting emails every day. How do I apply? So that's a positive thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. So our next commission meeting is going to be March 2nd and then April 6th. The Affordable Housing Subcommittee is scheduled for March 15th. No, didn't we push that back? The Affordable Housing Subcommittee, actually, I think we're going to look at changing that. But Housing First is February 22nd, and Housing Segregation is February 23rd. Please email Ernesto and me if you have agenda items you'd like to have added to our next meeting.
I just wanted to bring up the April 6th conflicts with Jewish holiday Passover.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm the only Jewish person here that won't be able to attend.
Okay. We'll figure something out there.
Figure something out.
Yeah.
If I have to, because there's no quorum, then I will.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to attend that meeting either. Thank you, Mindy.
Yeah.
Okay. So just as a suggestion, at my work, we've decided to have a calendar that has significant holidays, which might impact people's ability to participate in various meetings, to keep things in mind. So, yeah.
Real quick to Ernesto, did that not pop up on the city calendar that we use?
I did not see it.
Okay, just asking.
It probably didn't, Michael, because Jewish holidays are started the evening before, but there's two nights of Passover. So it wouldn't come up on a...
So I'm going to suggest that we come up with a new date in our March meeting. So happy to do that. We're at 6:13.
It's the April meeting.
Yeah, I know. So at the March 2nd meeting, we'll come up with a new date for the April meeting. Any other final comments before we adjourn?
Thank you for being so great.
You bet. All right. Thank you, everybody. I think this was a great meeting today. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Night.